Good afternoon. Welcome to the Supreme Court of Ohio's Black History Month program, Opening Doors to Careers in Law. Before we begin, please silence all cell phones and turn off flashes if you intend to take photographs. My name is Janet Green Marbley, and I am the director of the Supreme Court of Ohio's Lawyers Fund for Client Protection. On behalf of Chief Justice Sharon L. Kennedy and the justices of the Supreme Court of Ohio, I'm pleased to welcome all of you to today's Black History Month program. With us today are Chief Justice Sharon L. Kennedy, Justice Patrick F. Fisher, Justice R. Patrick DeWine, Justice Michael P. Donnelly, Justice Melody J. Stewart, Justice Jennifer Bruner, and Justice Joseph T. Dieters. Also with us today are eighth grade students and teachers from Bexley Middle School, friends and supporters of the Law and Leadership Institute, family and friends of our speakers, and Supreme Court staff and others watching from their offices and homes. It is my honor to introduce to you Chief Justice Sharon L. Kennedy. Chief Justice Kennedy began her career in the justice system as a police officer. She went on to law school at the University of Cincinnati and served for more than a decade on the Butler County Court of Common Pleas. Chief Justice Kennedy first joined the Supreme Court of Ohio as an associate justice in 2012. She was elected as the 11th Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Ohio in November 2022. Please join me in welcoming Chief Justice Sharon L. Kennedy.
You're good. Well, good afternoon. On behalf of my colleagues and myself and the members of the administrative offices of the court, welcome to the beautiful Supreme Court of Ohio and to our 2023 Black History Month program, Opening Doors to Careers in the Law. I would like to introduce my colleagues and this time ask them to stand. Justice Fisher, Justice DeWine, Justice Donnelly, Justice Stewart, Justice Bruner, and Justice Dieters. Thank you for being here today. We thank the court employees who have made this program possible. From the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Office, the Director, Adriana Fletcher, and Coordinator Nico Jackson. Thank you. The amazing meetings and events team, the Public Information Office, and all the staff and volunteers that make every event possible in the court. Thank you for bringing us together to hear from and learn from these exceptional speakers. Our previous Black History Month programs have featured inspirational individuals who have achieved the pinnacles of their professions in the arts, architecture, the military, and the legal profession. But today's speakers, however, are even more inspiring because one is holding the door open to those exploring a career in the law, and the other speakers have walked through the door and have opened up a world of possibilities to a career in the law. We are honored to have the Law and Leadership Institute return home today and proud of what the Institute has accomplished since its inception. Some of you may know that this court and the Institute have a shared story. The Law and Leadership Institute began here under Chief Justice Thomas J. Moyer in the summer of 2008. At that time, just 40 high school students from cities of Cleveland and Columbus participated in the program. 1 year later, the program expanded to include schools in Akron, Cincinnati, Dayton, and Toledo. Its mission? Give students in urban settings an opportunity to see the legal profession in a real way, to develop leadership skills that would carry them through life, and to hopefully spark inspiration in a young person to see a career in the law as their life's passion. Today, the Law and Leadership Institute provides legally based academic instruction and leadership training to approximately 125 high school students across the state of Ohio. Support from the program comes from all 9 of Ohio's law schools, generous grants from the Ohio State Bar Foundation, continued support from the Ohio Supreme Court, federal courts situated in Ohio, metropolitan bar associations, and corporate and individual stewards of the communities who recognize the value of the work of the Law and Leadership Institute. While the organizations and the individuals who foster the Law and Leadership Institute program open the door of possibilities to a career in law for young people, it is up to the students to take the risk, to invest their time, to seize the opportunity, and to start a path of a journey on the unknowing. The success of the program requires inspired students, classroom teachers, instructors, and mentors. Together, they work to transform dreams into future careers. That door first opens in the summer of a student's freshman year in high school and begins with the introduction of the legal system and basic legal concepts. Law students freely give of their time to teach criminal law and trial procedure. Participants also have the opportunity to hear from a wide variety of speakers in the legal profession. They take field trips to law firms and courts. They end their summer event by showing off their critical thinking skills and public speaking skills by participating in a mock trial. The summer of their sophomore year is filled with the instruction of civil law and professionalism. Students then can take what they've learned and they put it to work in the real world. They can work in a law office side by side with an attorney as they handle legal problems through an internship. It allows them to see the possibility of the real workings of a law firm and what it takes to be a lawyer. And in that, building confidence and leadership. In their junior year, they reach a pinnacle where they are on the path to examine a decision by the Supreme Court, one that is landmark. They write a critical analysis about the societal and historical context of that decision and its impact. They then take to the podium themselves and they present the perspective of someone who was involved in the case or impacted by the decision of the case for family and friends. In their final year as seniors, they visit colleges, write personal narratives to help them in that preparation for college application, and they participate in moot court. They research the law, they write briefs, and they deliver thundering oral arguments. The moot court competition is the pinnacle of their experience. And while a group of thoughtful individuals and this great institution may have given birth to the program, the life of the program has been the teachers. Teachers from classrooms across Ohio who challenge their students to stretch, law students, lawyers, and court personnel who teach legal concepts, writing, and oral advocacy skills, and the institutions themselves that provide invaluable internships. Thank you to all of the teachers who are helping students to develop critical thinking and leadership skills and are helping to foster dreams of hope. With education comes the possibility not just to dream, but to achieve those dreams as well. For the students here today, we hope this year's Black History Month celebration helps you see your own potential, and inspires you to pursue a career in the law. Our world needs more dedicated individuals with a commitment to justice in the law, law enforcement, government service, and the legal profession. Dreamers and doers alike who have inspired to take on another's legal problems and achieve justice for all. So today, I encourage each of you to live out your imagination and not just dream, but achieve. We look forward to hearing from the Executive Director of the Law and Leadership Institute and from these inspiring young people who have participated in or graduated from the Law and Institute Leadership Program, and about the dreams that they have ignited in them as a result of their passion to follow a career in law and justice. The justices and I appreciate your commitment to public service and to each other. May God bless all of you.
Thank you, Chief Justice Kennedy. We appreciate your remarks, and we appreciate having you and the justices here with us this afternoon. As has been mentioned, this is Black History Month. The first black judge to serve on the Supreme Court of Ohio was Robert M. Duncan, who joined the court in 1969. Judge Duncan has been a great inspiration to those of us who grew up in Columbus, Ohio, and was also featured at one of the court's Black History Month celebrations. Since Judge Duncan, there has been one appointed and one elected black justice to serve on the Supreme Court of Ohio. Justice Melody J. Stewart, introduced earlier in the program, was elected to the court in November 2018 and continues to serve. Today's program is entitled Opening Doors to Careers in Law. That door opened for me in 1979 when I passed the Ohio bar exam. As a student in Columbus Public Schools, there were no organizations to help prepare me for a career in the legal profession. Unfortunately, the Law and Leadership Institute did not exist at that time. Our first speaker today is Heather Creed, the Executive Director of the Law and Leadership Institute. Under Heather's leadership, LLI is helping underserved populations and minority students generate interest in the legal profession and other careers in the justice system. Please welcome Heather Creed, Executive Director of LLI.
Chief Justice Kennedy and the Honorable Justices of the Supreme Court of Ohio, the directors of the board of the Law and Leadership Institute, students and faculty of Bexley Middle School, and the distinguished guests here today. Thank you for providing this opportunity to not only celebrate black history makers of the past, but to also celebrate those who will make black history in the future. As we consider progress in our country over the last 200 years, certainly we must look to pioneers in the fields that affect every person in our society, law and education. For example, in law, in 1844, Macon Bowling Allen passed the bar exam, making him the first African-American licensed to practice law in the U.S. He then went on to become the first African-American to hold a judicial position as Massachusetts Justice of the Peace in 1848. In education, in 1869, Fanny Jackson Coppin became the first African-American principal. Born as a slave, she once wrote to Frederick Douglass, "I feel sometimes like a person to whom in childhood was entrusted some sacred flame." This is the desire to see my race lifted out of the mire of ignorance, weakness, and degradation, no longer to sit in obscure corners and devour the scraps of knowledge which his superiors flung at him. I want to see him crowned with strength and dignity, adorned with the enduring grace of intellectual attainments. In law, 30 years after her male counterpart, trailblazer Charlotte E. Ray became the first female African-American lawyer in the U.S. in 1872. She was a crucial player in early abolitionist movements and the first woman to practice before the Supreme Court. In the early 20th century, Charles Hamilton Houston became the first black editor of the Harvard Law Review. He spent his career fighting against Jim Crow throughout the South and successfully challenged segregation. He fought in multiple cases before the Supreme Court, and his work gained him the moniker, "The Man Who Killed Jim Crow." In education, the first black woman to earn a PhD in psychology in 1933, Inez Beverly Prosser, did extensive research on the effect of segregated schools versus non-segregated schools on African American students. She was passionate about finding the best way to foster and educate young black students. She was also one of the first to take a vested interest in the mental health of African American students subjected to racism. As a founder of the Federal Head Start Program in 1965, Dr. Edmund Gordon was one of the first educators to focus on closing the academic achievement gap. And in 1967, President Lyndon B. Johnson appointed, hopefully you all know this name, Thurgood Marshall, as the first African American Supreme Court Justice. Prior to his judicial service, he successfully argued Brown versus Board of Education with United States District Court Judge Constance Baker Motley, the first African American female federal district judge in the U.S. And in a beautiful combination of law and education, in 1982, James O'Neill graduated from Harvard Law School and went to New York as Harvard's first public interest law fellowship recipient. Determined to serve teens in underserved communities, he taught law-related courses to students across New York City. His work with the students evolved into the creation of Legal Outreach, a comprehensive four-year college preparation program designed to equip students from underserved communities with the tools they would need to succeed. If that sounds familiar, it was the inspiration from Mr. O'Neill's ingenuity that ultimately led to the creation of the Law and Leadership Institute. When the Supreme Court of Ohio, under the leadership of former Chief Justice Moyer, the deans of Ohio's nine law schools, and the leadership of Metro and State Bar Associations gathered in 2008 to address the fact that the legal profession was not reflective of the society that it serves, the group looked at the model of legal outreach in New York City and ambitiously decided to not only start a similar program in Ohio, but to make it span across the state. First in Columbus and Cleveland, and the next year expanding to Cincinnati, Akron, Dayton, and Toledo. And thus, the Law and Leadership Institute was born. The Law and Leadership Institute, or LLI, as we like to call it, is a statewide college pipeline program in collaboration with the legal community that inspires and prepares students from underserved communities for post-secondary and professional success through a comprehensive four-year academic program in law, leadership, analytical thinking, problem solving, writing skills, and professionalism. You'll hear more about the program from our coming speakers, of course. But to give a short overview, in addition to what Justice Kennedy shared, students typically enter LLI the summer after ninth grade, or excuse me, before ninth grade, and spend their entire 4 years of high school in our program. Did you note that, eighth graders? The summer before ninth grade? We are in Ohio's six largest cities, and in 2022 began the work of expanding to smaller cities in proximity to our sites by adding students from Lorain. We partner with all nine of Ohio's law schools, with eight of them hosting our students in their buildings every year. Law students serve as instructors to our high school students, and we now have had several of our alumni return as law student instructors. The program takes place for 4 to 5 weeks in the summer and selects Saturdays during the school year. We use an engaging, law-based curriculum to build universal skills, writing, critical thinking, public speaking, as well as self-confidence, self-discipline, and conflict resolution skills. Each year has a different focus in capstone activities such as mock trial, internships, and college visits. Ultimately, our goal is to give students vision for what is possible in their future, to build the skills necessary to achieve their academic and professional goals, and to develop a supportive community of like-minded peers and mentors to help make their vision a reality. It was fun seeing two alums reunite here just today who had not seen each other in years, but share the common bond of having graduated from LLI. I certainly am biased, but our students are amazing. And because of who they are and the work they put in, the program works. 100% of the students who complete LLI graduate high school. Considering Ohio ties for the second lowest graduation rate for Black high school students in the country with a rate of 69%, our students are indeed history makers. Over 90% of our graduates go directly to college. Our graduates attend a variety of schools you would see from a typical suburban high school. Large state schools, private liberal art colleges, HBCUs, community colleges, and Ivy League schools. Their majors represent more than 60 fields, ranging from mechanical engineering to political science to higher education to public health. And some, as you will hear today, go on to pursue graduate degrees, including law school. We have graduates at Ohio State, Georgetown, Duke, UCLA, Akron, Howard, Dayton, Capital, and Toledo law schools. We will not realize the vision of these great Black pioneers. The legal profession will not become more meaningfully diverse, and we will not be able to create a culture in which historically marginalized groups' voices are heard and embraced until we invest in the educational pipeline. I challenge the students in the room to embrace the legacy of those who have come before you with courage and passion to open doors that are currently closed. And I challenge the professionals in the room to encourage our students in that pursuit and to continue to invest in the next generation of leaders. I'll now turn it over to our future Black history makers.
Thank you, Heather. I'm sure that by now, after hearing our Chief Justice's inspirational remarks and Heather's, about 90% of the eighth graders in the room are ready to sign up for LLI. But just wait, you still have to hear from the students and graduates of the program. J.L. Haynes Lee is a sophomore at Harvest Preparatory Academy High School in Canal, Winchester. She is an athlete, and I just learned from her she's played every sport except lacrosse and hockey. She's a musician, she's active in her church community, and she's also a volunteer in the larger community. JL is here to share with us her experience as a participant in LLI and her goals for the future. Please welcome JL Haynes Lee.
Thank you, Ms. Janet. Hi, everyone. My name is J.L. Hainsley, and as previously stated, I'm a 16-year-old sophomore attending Harvest Preparatory School and the Law and Leadership Institute, aka LLI. So coincidentally, I'm a sophomore in both. Now, I'm very surprised you got my name right. It's kind of hard to say, and it's been mispronounced by many people. But at least you can kind of guess it by the spelling. I know a lot of names that are spelled one way and are pronounced completely different. Some of you may know a person with that name, and some of you may have that name. But I've been called many different names. Jael, Jell, and Joel. Like, seriously, Joe, come on, y'all. Like, it's literally two letters, J-L. It's not that hard. But honestly, I love my name because of two reasons. My name means wild goat, and it's also found in the Bible. So it's my name literally means the greatest of all time, and I'm a historical figure. It's cool, right? Anyway, so Jael in the Bible was a brave woman, and she ended a war and saved the country all by herself with only a tent peg and a hammer in her hand, plus her sharp mind. Thus, Jael is a hero. Now, I've always desired to be a hero. I really wanted to be my own version of Batman. Just the realistic version of the Dark Knight, if you will. I figured the closest thing to that was becoming a police officer. So once I figured out what I wanted to do, my parents completely supported me, even though my dad would rather have me carry a gavel instead of a Glock. So they both encouraged me. They watered the seed and planted me in programs like LLI to help me grow. Therefore, LLI is the perfect program for anyone getting into the field of law. The director of City Leaders, Ms. Sherry Lynn Wynn Flowers, aka Mother Bear, emailed my mom, and my mom screamed so loud that she almost passed out. I'm upstairs as she's screaming, and this only meant one thing for me. Either I'm in big trouble, she was really excited about something, or she just chopped off one of her limbs. Now, me, I'm a trained lifeguard, and they didn't go over chopped limbs in orientation. They didn't do that. But either way, I rushed to her, and she says, "You gotta fill out these papers. There's a wonderful four-year program called the Law and Leadership Institute that I want you to be a part of. It's perfect for you." Now, at this point, my brain is taking a pause. Like, did she just say 4 years? Like, huh? I'm not even out of school yet. Like, okay, but she responds, "Jael, you'll be fine. School will end by the time this program begins." And really, it's during the school year and the summer too. Isn't that great? Now, let me see. It's a four-year program during the school year and the summer. Yeah, spectacular. So, believe it or not, I wasn't completely excited to spend my summer studying law. And it was already near the deadline when we found out about the program, which probably brought about the scream of excitement, or panic attack, or whatever it was. But let me tell you something about my mother. These are all good things, Mom, I promise. Oh, most of them. So, my mother sent me on the path of greatness and success, and she did that for all of her children. Thus, I would consider her to be a pretty great mom in my book. That's where I believe I got my confidence and my determination from. Sorry, Dad. So, for the record, I love you both equally. You know, you both do a lot for being my brothers. But one of the goals in my life is to become the first African-American woman on the SWAT team. And LLI was an excellent choice for me because it has to deal with our government laws and it teaches you how to be a great leader, hence the name. Now, I've been blessed to be in a lot of programs. In elementary, I toured the Columbus Police and SWAT Department and graduated from the Police and Firefighters Expiration Camp. I did City Leaders and Cybersecurity and Criminal Justice programs at Easton Fairfield Career School and toured Harvard and the Ohio State University in middle school. Now, in high school, I joined LLI and I look forward to college. I'm looking at OSU and West Point Military Academy for criminology, law, and forensics. So LLI has got to be one of the best programs I've ever been a part of. I mean, I learned how to debate and argue with my peers, respectfully, of course. I got to meet judges and different lawyers. We even have cool teachers, too. Shout out to my teacher, Ms. Belial. Love you, girl. Anyway, one of the highlights that I got to do was actually work at an actual law firm and become friends with the workers there. But they still didn't let me attend their happy hour event. Okay. Seriously, though, I learned so much about the law, and I even had the Bill of Rights memorized. Keyword had, so don't test me. So, you know, I wasn't really sure if I could even be a part of this at first because It was a four-year program during the summer. And me personally, I want to work, like at least earn some money to buy a car or something. But now I'm so glad I did the program. It helped me change for the better, and I can't wait to do it again next year. So they asked me to give advice to my peers during the speech. So I will do my best based on my 16 years of experience. Yeah. I've heard people say that if you don't bother others, they won't bother you. And I'm here to tell you, that's completely not true. Yeah. Injustice happens to us all at some point. My first time joining my middle school basketball team, I asked the girl what the bathroom was, and she purposefully directed me the opposite direction. When I finally found the bathroom, some of my teammates turned off the lights and tried to hold the door closed as I tried to exit. They weren't that strong, though, just evil. Bullying is a real problem, and that's another reason I like law and leadership, because you learn how to fight the right way. In addition to bullying, I have to include suicide, which can be a result of bullying. In the U.S., about 30 people a day commit suicide. It's a real problem among our youth, because us adults tend to turn to suicide when we focus on all of our problems, like in 13 Reasons Why. Because depression is real, and if we talk about our thoughts and feelings with those who truly do love us, we will find about 100 reasons to truly to feel good about ourselves, about being here and contributing to our world. And to be honest, I can speak a whole sermon about this, but my time is about up. So I'm grateful for so many things. I'm grateful for my loving family, my friends, all my mentors and teachers, and the Law and Leadership Institute. I'm mostly grateful to God, who makes everything possible, like giving me the opportunity to share my ideas with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, JL. I got the pronunciation of your name right the first time I saw it, so it wasn't hard. And you can add to your list of things about LLI that you're happy about. You got to meet 7 justices of the Supreme Court of Ohio, one of whom was also a law enforcement officer at the beginning of her career. So that you can be thankful for. Our next speaker is Casey McCormick. Casey is a graduate of Albion College. She's preparing to take the law school admission test, affectionately known by some of us as the LSAT, and dread it. After graduating from law school, Casey plans to become a criminal defense attorney. She's an LLI alumni and would like to share with us her experience as a student in the Law and Leadership Institute. Casey.
Hello, everybody. I want to start by saying thank you. Thank you for having us to our justices. And also, thank you to Dr. Fletcher for putting me in this room to be able to give you guys my story. When growing up, we often get asked, what do you want to be when you get older? For some, it may have been a dancer, an NFL player, maybe even a doctor. But for me, I always wanted to be a lawyer. I watched all the crime shows, NCIS, Criminal Minds, even Bones. My favorite was Law and Order. Every time I would watch Law and Order, I would hear the theme song and me and the TV became one. Stuck to the TV, trying to put all the pieces together to figure out the case was always a high point for me, even now. As a child, my time watching these shows allowed me to use my imagination, and for a moment, I would envision myself working at my dream job, not knowing what it would actually take to get there. As time moved forward, my dream slowly became my reality. In middle school, I really struggled, my apologies, to just find myself And sometimes that would catch me in places I didn't really want to be. Thankfully, I had a student counselor. Her name was Ms. Roberts, who I can honestly say put a lot of things in perspective for me. My first incident with her, she introduced me to a book called Why a Caged Bird Sings. And my last, she introduced me to this life-changing program called Law and Leadership. I can't give her enough flowers. She saw me and helped me get into the position to just be able to apply. Getting the information about LLI was the first light to turn on in my head. I was excited, as if I was watching Law and Order again. I knew that this program was made for me, and I was going to do whatever it took to be a part of it. After I put in the work and applied, I waited for my acceptance, and when I got my letter, it was completely the opposite. Dear Ms. McCormick, we are sorry to let you know you were not accepted into the program, but you are on our wait list. As an eighth grader, I couldn't believe it. I was in disbelief. I was confused. I just knew I needed to be in LLI. Luckily, 2 weeks before the program started, I got a call asking if I was still interested. Of course, the answer was yes. I didn't have to think about it for long. And at that point, I knew I had something to prove. The first day, I already had an assignment due. I was immediately in shock. I had to introduce myself by last name and become familiar with my peers as well, their last name also. My time in LLI was nothing short of a transformation period for me. But once the first week went past, I felt like I was exactly where I was supposed to be. Being in this program gave me exposure to people and events that most wouldn't have access to until college. In my first year, my class had a mock trial, so a lot of our time was dedicated to preparing for the case. A red hat is not the same as a red and black hat. Similar, but not identical. That was my opening line to my opening statement. I got to present that case in front of an active judge. That was just one of the things as a young teenager that I was exposed to. Because of this program, that year, I won the award for best opening statement. Receiving that award just solidified the feeling that I was exactly where I was supposed to be. Over the years, we continued to get exposure to different events and people. We also got to have moot court, and we did a week-long internship in our last year of the program. Having the opportunity to be a part of this program was eye-opening. It gave me a dose of what I could possibly be experiencing again in my near future. This program molded me, and not only by giving me a taste of what it would be like if I was in law school, but also by giving me a sense of direction on what I needed to do to get there. By college, I knew I wanted to study pre-law or political science, something that would keep me sharp on what's going on in the world, also to keep me more acquainted with different laws. I thought that's what I was supposed to do. I can tell you now, it's not really the case. I went to a small liberal arts college called Albion in Albion, Michigan. I did end up graduating with my bachelor's in political science, and every moment spent in college was a memorable one. If I could have changed anything, I would have been more involved. I wasn't a part of many school clubs on my campus. I played basketball, and I was a mentor for a program called The Big Read. The Big Read was similar to Law and Leadership in terms of the mission, to educate young people and equip them with tools to make them better students and people. We thrived on respect, preparation, dedication, and execution. I was also in the Inside Out program. It was a part of my major, and I got the opportunity to go to a correctional facility and have class with inmates where I had discussions on our curriculum. That was the beginning of another switch going off in my head. The sad part about it is that I was unable to complete the program. Not because I couldn't perform well in the class, but because an officer and I had a disagreement about whether I was following the dress code. He reported me, and ultimately, It was his word against mine. His word prevailed, and because the rules were so strict, I was not allowed back into the facility. Me being that future attorney didn't take too kindly to these accusations. I worked with my teacher and tried to be allowed back into the facility. After missing a few classes, I felt like no one was listening, so I began to veer off the plan and tried to make the calls to the higher-ups myself. That was not my smartest move. I had a conversation with my professor, and although I didn't see the change that I wanted, that didn't mean she didn't fight for me. Ultimately, I never made it back into the correctional facility, but my professor did make it possible for me to finish the class. This particular situation humbled me, but also motivated me. It was the first time I experienced support in a situation that I had no control over. The incident made me realize that I never wanted someone to feel like I did. I was stripped from my voice, my truth. I knew then that I wanted to fight for people whose image is diminished by someone else's truth or assumptions. I held on to that feeling. I'm now letting it be my drive to continue my journey. I never lost my dreams to become an attorney. I wasn't sure if I could do it. I look back on days in law and leadership, reminiscing on the joy I felt being able to argue a case, to say I object, to not only act the part, but look the part. I remember how I felt when I heard my name for the awards of best opening statement and best closing statement. The disappointment of losing the case, but being able to go back and dissect what could have gone differently. Remembering that I have had these experiences made me move forward and start making strides to becoming a better attorney, or to becoming an attorney, rather. My way isn't the ideal option. I'm doing this well after I've graduated, so I don't have the same help I would if I was still in school. I'm doing this on my own. I got up, went to Barnes & Noble, got my prep work, and I hit the books. I've studied, I've watched videos, I organize and make sure I have a set amount of time specifically for that. In June, I will be taking my LSAT, and I'm going to pass. I want you to remember that it's not how long it takes you. Just keep going and never give up. I am the poster child of seize the moment. Everything that happens to you isn't by accident. If you don't get it the first time, keep trying until you get it right. With trial and error, you create your own destiny, and you strive for greatness. Maya Angelou once said, "I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but they will never forget how you made them feel." I remember how I felt when I was in law and leadership. I know how I'm feeling now. Every moment that we seize, we feel something, and I hope you felt something today. Thank you.
Thank you, Casey, for sharing those experiences with us and for giving us a bit of your courage and your confidence to succeed. We know that hopefully 4 or 5 years from now, the justices will be swearing you in as an attorney in Ohio. So keep up your perseverance and you will make it. Thank you. The first black attorney in the state of Ohio was John Mercer Langston. He studied law privately with an Ohio attorney after having been denied admittance to law school. John Mercer Langston passed the Ohio bar exam in 1854. Currently, there are a total of 38,641 active attorneys practicing in the state of Ohio. Only 1,374 identify as black and or multiracial, including black. That continues to demonstrate the need for LLI, the need for students like Casey, and our next speaker, who has successfully completed the program as well as his legal education. Imokai Akolo is an associate attorney with the eighth largest law firm in the U.S., Jones Day, where he practices in the areas of business and tort litigation. Imokai is a graduate of Miami University and the University of Akron School of Law. He is one of the first LLI alumni to graduate law school and pass the bar exam. Please welcome attorney Imokai Akolo.
Oh, thank you for that. I appreciate it. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
So my name's Imokai Akolo, and I am from what I would call the greatest city in Ohio, Akron. So my name Imokai is derived from the Istako tribal language in Nigeria, and it means someone to be proud of. You know, living up to my name has kind of always been a life goal of mine. I've always strived to be someone that I can be proud of, that my family could be proud of, and that my community could also be proud of. But if I'm being honest, pride in oneself was something I certainly have struggled with over the years. You know, growing up as a dark-skinned kid with African heritage was certainly not easy. For many of my peers growing up, those two things were easy to joke about and make fun of. So for a while, I didn't have much pride in myself. You know, despite having a mother who spoke life into me and strived to build up my sense of pride, well, I didn't quite see myself as special, unique, or sometimes even important. It's one thing to hear how special you are from your mother, but it's another to hear that from people who you don't feel were obligated to kind of feel that way. Now, growing up, I was a kid that had an opinion about everything. I just liked to talk a lot. I was good with my words, could think quick on my feet, and could be pretty witty. Like a lot of other kids, I also watched a lot of TV, right? And one of those favorite shows was Law and Order. It seemed as if it was on TV all the time, and I just loved the drama. The one thing that really stood out to me in the show were the lawyers. You know, like me, they seemed to have a lot to say, were very opinionated, and were good with their words. They also seemed like the most important people. They were the ones saving the day in the courtroom, and it was because of them that this idea of justice was achieved. Now, I didn't know any lawyers, and certainly didn't know any black lawyers. But in this search for identity and having pride in myself, I made the decision that I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to be an advocate and fight for the people. I wanted to be one of those important people on TV who were to me like superheroes. Now, being a kid who liked to talk a lot and always seemed to have an opinion about everything, well, it definitely got me into some trouble. But I like to think it was good trouble. You know, most of the time I was getting into trouble because I wasn't minding my own business. When one of my classmates got into trouble, I felt the need to add my two cents to the situation and stick up for my classmate. That led me to getting into an argument with the teacher, then being sent to the principal's office. Now, one day when I got sent to that principal's office, my principal told me about this program called Law and Leadership. All I knew about the program was that it was for kids who were interested in the law and wanted to do something with their summer. Most of all, I was told that you can get paid for going, and I was all over it. Now, I signed up, and the rest is history. You know, I remember being so excited for this program. I felt like it was my chance to learn how to be one of those lawyers I saw on TV. And so I asked my mom to buy me one of those hard shell briefcases so that I could look the part. Now, this program ended up being one of the greatest things that could have happened to me. I got the chance to meet and learn from lawyers across Akron, and more importantly, lawyers who looked like me. This dream I had started to become more clear. In the program, I was introduced to mock trial, which started this long journey of learning what it meant to be a trial lawyer, an advocate for your client. But most importantly, I met people in this program who saw something special in me and went out their way to pour into me so that I could be the person I am standing here today. You know, the mentors and sponsors I had in this program helped me see how special and important that I was. I was able to gain more confidence and pride in who I was and the talents that I had to offer. This program set me up to achieve in college. I went to Miami University and majored in social justice. Love and honor for any alum out there. It was at Miami that my passion for wanting to be a lawyer, it began to grow. I learned about social justice movements, not only here in the United States, but across the world. I learned more about the plight of Black people in this country and across the globe. As I learned more, this passion I had to fight for justice and fairness began to grow. I saw how important lawyers have been in social movements and how important lawyers have been in the fight for freedom and liberation in this country. I knew that this is what I had been called to do. You know, despite all this passion that I had, you know, I didn't finish college with a resume that screamed Harvard Law School. If you had asked some people at the pre-law department at Miami, my grades and test scores were giving, you know, hopefully he gets admitted into law school. Now, despite that, I knew that I was more than a number. I knew that I had more to offer than what my grades or my LSAT score showed. In my last year of college, I was debating on going to law school out in Chicago or coming back home. It was my law and leadership mentor, Professor Joanne Saul, that convinced me to come back home and practice law in a place that made this all possible. Now, when I got my scholarship letter from Akron, you know, I was disappointed, to say the least. It was a hard-hitting message that my grades and LSAT scores didn't align with succeeding in law school. But instead of being discouraged, it gave me more motivation. I was going to prove them wrong. Everything that I had done had been leading up to law school, and I just knew that I was going to succeed. I put my head in the books, and after the first year, I was number two in my class of 130 students. Let's just say the dean of the... Thank you. You know, let's just say the dean and I had a pretty good conversation, and my scholarships for the rest of my time in law school were looking a lot different. I graduated law school in the top 5% of my class and had three different job offers from the top firms in Ohio. None of this would have been possible without the Law and Leadership Program and individuals who saw something special in Lily Mokai and went out their way to help me reach the goal of becoming a lawyer and build this sense of pride in who I was. Now, I'm only here today because of my community. Because of the people in Akron, Ohio, who took time out of their lives to volunteer with a program like LLI and truly invested in the students. You know, to my fellow lawyers out there, I encourage you to give back. Invest in the next generation. You never know how much of an impact you will have on students. Our communities need people who are willing to dedicate their time, their talents, and their treasures to break generational curses and destroy systems that harm communities because of bias and prejudice. We have to do the work if we expect things to change for the better. I hope that my story can be some motivation to get active in your community. Now, to the students out there, believe in yourself. And I can't say that enough. Believe in yourself. If you're going through a tough time right now, know that things will get better. I'm a testament to that. You are not defined by the color of your skin, where you're from, or your test scores. Know that you are powerful beyond measure and capable of achieving every and any dream you set your mind to. Be bold, be courageous. And have the confidence to stand in your truth and be who you are, because if you do that, the sky is the limit for what you can achieve. And I have to say this, you know, to the Black students out there, take the time to get to know your history. Get the time to learn and understand the struggle that our people went through to even get to this point today. Take the time to learn about the freedom fighters who paved the way, people like Malcolm X, Dr. King, Ella Baker, Fannie Lou Hamer, Stokely Carmichael, people you can be encouraged by, inspired by, and carry on this tradition of fighting for the freedom of our people in this country. You know, one of those freedom fighters, Assata Shakur, said, "It is our duty to fight for freedom. It is our duty to win. We must love and support each other because we have nothing to lose but our chains." Thank you.
I don't have words to follow that presentation. I am so grateful that you have taken the time out of what I know is a busy day at the law firm to come here and speak to the students and to all of us at the Supreme Court of Ohio. We are so thankful for each of our inspirational students who have presented today. Now we want to hear from all of the students who are visiting with us. Now is the time you get to ask questions, and each of them or the justices, and I don't mean to speak for the justices, get to respond to you. There is a microphone that is available for you to speak into and state your question. We have a microphone here for those who will be responding. And let me just say this, students, if you don't ask a question, I have questions for you, and you don't want to flunk the quiz that I have for you. So please ask questions. There are lots of folks in the room who would like to engage you and respond to your questions. Okay, first question. Don't forget about my quiz. So I'd like to hear a question.
Is it common for lawyers to watch a show like Law and Order? Like, is that a common thing?
I think we all heard the question. Is it common for lawyers to watch drama TV shows like Law and Order?
You know, I think it is quite common just because the nature of so many legal shows on TV, right? I can run through a litany of so many great shows that just bring the drama, right? It keeps folks entertained, and that's the point of television, right? So I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a lawyer who hasn't seen Law & Order, one of those legal shows, for sure.
Me, personally, I saw How to Get Away with Murder. I was like, criminal what was it? It was another cop show I saw, and I was like 6 years old, so I don't remember the name of it, but it's pretty common. It really sparked my passion for it, I'm going to say.
I used to work in law school admissions, and so I read every application to the law school. A lot of people go to law school because they watched Law and Order, or depending on your time. So it's definitely very common. I will say, once you get into law school, then you start seeing, oh, that's not how that works. Nope, that's wrong. So just like I'm sure all doctors, when they watch Grey's Anatomy, go, that's not how that works. Same is true with legal shows.
We'd much rather have you, if you're interested, get an LLI rather than continue to watch Law & Order. Other questions?
In what period of time, or like, what event made you want to become a lawyer?
What event made you want to be a lawyer?
I'm not one.
That's a tough question, because for me it was kind of a journey, right? You know, I kind of from a young age knew I wanted to be a lawyer, but it didn't quite make sense to me until I began to learn more, right? Until I began to understand how lawyers have actually contributed to our communities and the impacts that they've had. So, you know, for me, I think it's when I got to college and I started to really learn about social justice movements in this country, got to learn about individuals like Thurgood Marshall, right, who have really paved the way for black lawyers in this country, that I began to really dig deep in that passion to wanting to be a lawyer.
It was always a thing for me, honestly. From beginning, when I got asked, what did I want to be? That's it. So when I got in law leadership, that kind of was the solidification I needed.
Do we have any aspiring lawyers in the group with us today?
I will just say, I had no interest in becoming a lawyer. I was an eighth grade teacher before I went to law school. So even if down the road you are in a different career, law school is still an opportunity. So keep that in the back of your mind.
Well, we have time for one more question.
Hold it all the way up to your mouth.
Over here. How much money do you make?
If you didn't hear that, how much money do you make?
No, I saw that question coming. We're not going to lie. That's for y'all.
So I find that extremely hilarious because it's funny. I do a lot of career days and whatnot, meet with students, and that is like the number one question students always want to know, right? What I will tell you is that you can make a lot of good money being a lawyer. You know, it's always funny, this direct question, right? Students want to know like a direct number. What I will tell you is that at my law firm, the starting salary at my law firm is somewhere around $225,000 a year. And that's common for, you know, law firms of this similar size. And but I will tell you, you know, so I will say there is a rent, and that's public information, which is why I say that.
Now how many aspiring lawyers do we have in the room?
But what I will tell you, there's a range of that work, right? And that sort of pay scale is a range. And for me, that motivated me, right? Because you don't have to be a basketball player or an NBA player or something like that to make a lot of money, right? You can be a lawyer, do great work, help your community, and still make a good living for yourself and be able to give back to your family, right? Be able to do the things for your mom that you want to do, buy the house, buy the car, be successful, right? And so just know there's a wide range of opportunity to be a lawyer. It doesn't mean that you don't make money, but you have a lot of opportunity. The sky's the limit for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to our justices. Thank you to the students who attended and to all those who joined us virtually. We hope you enjoyed the program. We encourage you to get more information about the Law and Leadership Institute on their website. We also encourage you to look at externship opportunities with the court, and you can visit the court's website and obtain that information as well. We appreciate you being here. This concludes our program. As you leave the courtroom, there are light refreshments, cookies, and punch. And thank you for being here.